My name is Phyllida Barlow and I'm a London based artist, having my first New York exhibition. The first encounter with the space that was proposed for me to have the exhibition in is on the fourth floor of the new museum, and it was quite shocking because you come out of the lifts straight into the space, so there's no pause, there's no introduction to the space, and the space is such that you see the entire space all in one go from the elevator. And in a way that presents a lot of problems for an exhibition, because the work would probably reveal itself all in one go and you would hardly need to enter the exhibition to see the work. And that is not my preferred choice of space. So it was immediately a challenge, but a very exciting challenge, because the proportions of the space are very, very awkward. And I am incredibly excited by awkward, difficult spaces. I think they are the right spaces for sculpture. So the fourth floor, coming through the elevator and that back wall, there was a challenge, was, okay, I want to take on that back wall. I want to stagger it. I want to even block it out as the primary experience of entering the space. And then I want to make incidents in the space that are high up that take on the, you know, three quarters of the space that isn't used. So that was the real, the really exciting thing. And I think stepping out of the elevator is as though you stepped on stage. So for me, there was a very, very powerful performative sense of being in the space right from the start. A sculptural language to me is about interruption and displacement. That seems to be something that sculpture can own for itself, that I find incredibly exciting, that one's own physicality is up against something, and it's either psychologically up against it, you know, or, you know, mentally or physically. To me, they all have very particular qualities that make demands on us that are surprising, that are passive, active, pleasing or unpleasing, but there's all something that is in a way interactive with our own status quo. And it doesn't necessarily have to be seen, you know, it could be a blast of warm air or unpleasant smells from refuse, as well as just a small glitch in a pavement slab or a broken curb. I mean, there are so many things that are alerting us to our own physicality, and those things are often inert things, and I find that relationship intriguing. To me, it's a kind of inherent choreography that's going on continuously in our lives, you know. And I suppose the street is just a very obvious example of that, where there are things that are there to control and things that happen incidentally. The processes leading to these larger works are very important, beginning with drawings and slowly building up to very clear ideas about what is required for these bigger works. The quantity of materials is a lot. So there has to be quite an exact process of choosing materials for economic reasons. You know, you don't want too many mistakes, but mistakes do happen. And I like mistakes because I think the reworking of the work is a great journey and a great way to discover things that I might not have discovered if it all goes to plan. I think the main thing for me about experiencing spaces is not that it's site-specific, the work, but the dimensions are always something which I want to test myself with. I want to reach to the parts of the building or the parts of the space that I can't reach to at eye level. Eye level just seems to me very ordinary and rather passive. It's the standard level you look at art at. But I like the idea that looking at work, artwork, makes you very active as a viewer. And the first viewer, of course, is myself. So I like to be very active. I like to look on the tops of things or under things or through things. And therefore, that's my instinctive response to a space. I feel that for myself, it's manipulating space. It's making the space, I hope, alive with the kind of incidents that we take for granted outside in the world or within the domestic space. You know, we put things on top of cupboards. We shove things against doors to keep them open. We mend things with inadequate materials. And in a way, I think I'm replicating that. Perhaps I even think the work carries some kind of sense of reminding us of familiar things. I think the imagined touch, the idea that you imagine what it's like to touch, is more important than actually touching it. The minute you've touched it, I think a spell has been broken. And I think that emotional and mental process that probably struggles to find words to what is going on is one of the great unwritten critiques of, say, sculpture or painting or art in general. It's as though we don't know how to discuss that issue. We don't even know how to evaluate it. How do you discuss viscerality? How do you actually go into it without saying it reminds me of the inside of a dead body, or it reminds me of the reminding game, you know, the simile, which I think is probably something that happens quite naturally, but it's like the easiest way out with difficult aspects of looking is to use the simile as this great verbal prop. So that's the first thing about touch. I think not touching is actually incredibly powerful if you can encourage an audience to say, look, don't touch, just think about what it's like. Is it rough? Is it smooth? Is it slimy? Is the paint wet or dry in your imagination? You know, what does it remind you of? Is it food or sex or whatever you want to think about? You're free to think about in front of them. But the minute you touch it, you'll know it's that possibility will probably no longer be there. So that's what I want to say about touch. And the idea of the space is kind of a hostage space, you know, as though once you're in there, there's sort of no escape. And I suppose the idea of the ship in the bottle, if you know what I mean, intrigues me, you know, as a kind of sculptural act where you take something that's much bigger than any entrance or exit into the space and how it can be fitted into the space, and the idea of it being held there and it then being held there to ransom in a way, and it's then a proposition for being seen, being looked at, being engaged with, you know. So it was almost in some fanciful way seeing the space from the object's point of view, which sounds really, you know, nutty, but it's there is something quite extraordinary about that space, and I still can't quite fathom it.